Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Show number 1019.
Hello, place to go. Darling, hello, place to go.
Right, that whole Kennedy thing is cleared up.
Hello, place to go.
Two, three, four.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye,
like you, I was shocked baby. To find out Dave Hennett killed yes, John F. Kennedy. Did not see that coming.
No.
Were you disappointed that the files weren't released?
Yes. I was sort of...
Or all of them weren't released, I should say?
It was the buildup, because all day long, and finally, what, 4 or 5 o'clock, they said, oh, we're releasing them. And then a few minutes later, oh, wait, not all of them.
25 years later, you just tuned up another conspiracy theory, or 2 or 10,000, because... The bulk of the files now won't be released until next April.
So what did we learn? Nothing.
There was one document that seems to be the focus of most of the coverage, and it related to the fact that there was testimony by the CIA director in the 70s in the continuing investigation where a question came up from one of the senators about whether or not Oswald was ever working for the CIA. And his answer was noncommittal, and in the written report of the classified briefing at the time just said dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. In other words, he didn't answer the question, or he wandered off.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason for not releasing the rest of the documents, they're saying national security, and that's under the guise of what it's falling, correct?
Well, there's also this methods thing the CIA can always claim. That if we give up information, then people will know how we get information.
Okay. Isn't our national security so highly improved since this time? It's been decades and decades since this
years.
Happened. 50 plus years. Yeah. How could that even be an excuse? I mean, our national security is so much better than it,
well,
it used
you
to
could,
be.
You could make the extension, I suppose, right where you go. If there's something in there that says we spent all of our time trying to kill Castro, what will that do to our relationship to Cuba? Well, the people of Cuba already know we tried to kill Castro.
Right.
If there's something in there that says the Soviet Union and the United States were working together on something in the middle of the Cold War, then maybe that changes the course of history in some way. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like you. I don't know what there could be that would be relevant in 2017 or that damaging in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And by not releasing it, they make you think there's something damaging that they can't talk about.
Right.
But I was shocked to find out that Kennedy was assassinated.
Okay, well, you got to get out more. You got to pay more attention. These are your
that
two goals for the day.
That was mind-blowing.
Oh, so you didn't even know?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, and I didn't even know that Texas was a state then?
Texas was a state
That's
then.
That's amazing.
Yes. And you probably didn't even know you were supposed to deposit your books.
I didn't know you were supposed to bring your books to the depository.
Right. Remember they had that night slot that you drop your books off in?
You're going to be doing a lot of reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At 6:15, we have a mutual friend, and I don't know if he wants the public to know. He's a well-known guy. If he wants the public to know he's into this stuff or not, so I won't say his name. But we have a mutual friend who's way into this, and I got to call him later today to see what his take is on it, because he's read everything, he knows everything.
It'll be interesting to get his take then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
At 6:16, it's traffic, and then we're going to do the top 6 at 6, and you can call right now and be Lou's first caller. Is that right, Jake? No, Lou. Oh, that's right. He's gone. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do traffic. We're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back and do the top 6 at 6. I got to start coming to rehearsal. First, here's Mary. How are you?
I'm good. It's Friday. Ooh, hello.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
with the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Well, the Republican Party leads off. The Republican Party leads off the top six at six. The tax plan situation to get a overhaul of the tax code. It's now a race to the end of the year. Republicans in the House narrowly cleared a budget blueprint yesterday that would allow a tax bill to pass Congress without any Democratic votes. Senate leaders signaled that the bill could be introduced, debated, and approved in both chambers by the end of November. There are 15 to 20 days, working days, left in the year for the Senate, for the rest of the year.
Whew. That many?
For Congress in general, yeah. And by the way, that does not mean the budget is done. There are still several ways the Democrats could block. And it also does not mean that the new tax code, as it's written, will be passed. There's way too much, yeah, it may, if this happens, that might happen, pieces to that story.
You know, lawmakers in Springfield are in session, too, for a couple of days.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
And the vote yesterday in the House, too, was pretty tight.
It was tight. Yeah. Yep.
Possibly 5 days.
3 to 5 days?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So you know.
Renato Mariotti is a former federal prosecutor with a large following on social media and has become the latest entrant in the race to the Democratic nomination for attorney general. He said, "I am running for attorney general because I want to represent the people against the rich and powerful special interests that are taking advantage of us." And that is incredibly original. No politician has ever said that before. The only thing missing in that statement is "for the kids."
Yes.
And I want great schools for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I don't know Renato Mariotti, but we're all pulling for you. Next. A federal jury awarded a Morgan Park man a record $44.7 million yesterday for finding that a Chicago police officer shot him after a night of heavy drinking and that the troubled police department enabled the off-duty policeman's violent behavior to continue, even though they knew they had a record of it and had a problem on their hands.
This to me is mind-blowing, and I told Mary Sandberg, I want to ask Karen Conti about this, too. $45 million to this officer who can no longer walk and read. He can speak briefly. He's in a wheelchair, of course, confined to a wheelchair.
The man, not the officer.
Correct, yeah. These are two friends, and apparently what they disclosed in court is there was some drinking going on. The one shot the other, the jury found, and then tried to stage it to look like a suicide. My question is, why are Chicago taxpayers on the hook for $44.7 million?
Well, how much has the city paid out?
Oh,
almost never talked about.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. So the idea that you would not support a complete autopsy of the police department is crazy, mm-hmm. just for taxpayers' money.
And this happened.
And for the good cops.
Right.
Which is the vast majority, obviously.
Well, this happened when this officer was off duty and they were drinking in a home,
right.
in a residence.
So it should be a private incident,
absolutely.
Not a city problem.
Don't you think?
MSNBC has dropped Mark Halperin after multiple accusations of sexual harassment. HBO has also decided not to make the sequel to the Game Change movie. Game Change was the original story of the 2008 campaign. Obama versus McCain and the effect that Sarah Palin had in a negative way. Game Change 2, I believe, was a script in development about 2016. And now that's been scrapped because of Mark Halperin's nasty past, which he has not denied. MSNBC, where he was a regular on the Morning Joe program and a regular on their political coverage, he's done there as well. So for all these men who have come forward and said, okay, you got me. I'm sorry if I offended anyone. Oh, and by the way, I was wrong about President Bush, and I need to apologize for that because yesterday I was sort of the mind that, look, yeah, an old man shouldn't be grabbing a woman's butt any more than a young man should, but this is a guy with some measure of dementia, and maybe he deserves a little bit of slack, but his behavior should have been corrected. Now a third woman has come forward and said the same thing. So the circle of people around George Bush, from his family to his to the Secret Service, to everybody, why they didn't stop this is beyond me. Because you literally could say to George Bush at this age, we're not going to put you in any more photos with women. We're just not.
Right.
Because you can't behave and your David Copperfield joke's not funny.
No.
Next. Inexplicably, the JFK assassination files that were by law supposed to be released yesterday are not being released now. National security concerns is the reason stated as such, and we're now looking at April of next year before anything is done in mass, even though a lot of stuff was released yesterday. As discussed here, nothing appears to be all that news-breaking. And then... do we have the sound related to the turkey story? We do? Okay. Vic Vaughn, at the top of the hour, brought up a very important story about a turkey. I'd like you to now listen to Vic Vaughn's very important turkey story.
Police in Kiwanis, Wisconsin are on the lookout for a wild turkey. They say he's been terrorizing the city, chasing people and pecking at cars. Kiwanis Police Lieutenant Brad Sanderfoot says the Department of Natural Resources Turkey Task Force tried to shoot it, but his carcass was never found.
So we're not sure if the turkey's still around or if it left somewhere and go somewhere else, or we're not sure where the turkey is.
How about that?
How do you get on the Turkey Task Force?
You got to know people.
Special unit.
Vic, what do we know about the Turkey Task Force?
Steve, well, we know that this is a town. It's
Vic Vaughn, live in the newsroom.
3.5 hours north of Chicago, so... In case,
well, how do we know we're safe? That turkey could have taken mass transit to get here.
Yeah, we may need to find out how fast those things fly. It could be here. It's possible. You know, Jeannie's from Wisconsin, Steve, so I love doing these hard-hitting news stories about Wisconsin.
I understand.
Can I just say my son found a wild turkey dead in his yard. He lives outside of Madison.
Maybe it's the turkey.
Could be. And he said the wild turkeys are out of control this year. They're everywhere.
Well, this turkey sounds like a badass, pecking at cars and stuff.
I'm biting my tongue right now in every way.
I hope.
I'm saying a word.
So what do we know, Vic? Are the people of Wisconsin safe this morning?
They are safe, but this thing is still out there, Steve, so they're still looking for it. Are actually still looking for it.
Should the people of Wisconsin keep cheese curds handy to fire at the turkey if the turkey is near them?
Don't think they'll be throwing their cheese curds away.
That's a good point.
Too bad we can't get a one-on-one or some sort of an interview with the turkey, you know, to kind of get both sides of the
story.
Fair
point. Fair point. We may be able later to make contact with the turkey.
No comment yet.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time. Dave, do you have anything to add to this?
No, I no, absolutely.
There's no sports angle to this?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think there's a team known as the Turkeys. There are some teams that play like turkeys.
What if the turkey got drunk after Aaron Rodgers got hurt and just hasn't been able to pull his life together?
That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing sadder than a drunk wild turkey pecking at cars that creates a task force. We can all agree on that.
What if he got drunk on wild turkey?
Wow. That's like a mirror looking into a mirror of stupidity. Mm-hmm. It's 6:27. That's everything you need to know about what's happening so far in the world today. American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, bring you the top six at six, and we're back after this.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dave mentioned Coach Q coming up and also Fitz after 7. What time's pregame for Northwestern again?
2 o'clock tomorrow.
Go tough get. Game.
We could start sooner if you like.
It's more convenient for me.
Okay.
I have a 4 o'clock show at Zanies. And then Dan Hampton later as well. You know, we like to talk about, and Amy Rutledge later, our friend Amy Rutledge from Channel Anime.
He's got great stories for us.
We like to talk about folks doing good things, and we're happy to welcome to the studio. Really, be honest, I mean, sit up straight. It's a big shot. We got a big shot in the room. David, did you know you're a big shot?
Not as big as I look.
David Cohen's here. David, correct me if I've got the title wrong, but Senior Executive Vice President, and you handle the diversity programs as well at Comcast, right?
That is correct.
Nice to see you.
Well, it's great to be in Chicago, and thanks for having me on the air.
You still a trustee at Penn?
I actually am.
Yeah.
Actually chair of the trustees at Penn.
How are things at the University of Pennsylvania?
University of Pennsylvania is doing great. Our football team's having a little bit of a tough year, but the school's doing great.
You could talk to Dave because, you know, Northwestern academically is a fine institution, as you know, as obviously
there
Penn is.
Lots of fine institutions in Chicago.
So we have to work on the recruiting at Penn, I suppose.
The football recruiting, you know, the basketball program is pretty good. The football program has been pretty good, but this has been a tough year.
If I'm not mistaken, Mark DeRosa played for the Cubs. Wasn't he a quarterback at Penn?
I think that is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dave's head is filled with information that he can't use anywhere else but here.
It's the extent of my knowledge of Penn football.
But it is good. I have to say, it is good to come to Chicago. You hear about the Bulls, and you realize that The Sixers are not the only team in the league struggling.
Exactly.
So it's like it's really good to be here.
It's a little rough. Yeah, a little rough. Well, nice to have you here. What I wanted to discuss with you for a minute or two here is what you're doing as far as bridging the digital divide between folks that maybe don't have the same internet access as the rest of us and how important it is, whether it's at home or at school.
Right. Well, you know, we think that's an absolutely critical issue. Basically, a quarter of the people in America don't have internet access at home.
Is that right?
And it's, you know,
think about that. We all take it for granted.
Right. And some people say, well, that's like rural American and Indian reservations and things like that. Three quarters of those people, about 20 to 22%, live in cities like Chicago. They are disproportionately low income. They are disproportionately people of color. And that's where the major problem is in America. And so as a company, we've taken this issue on for the last 6 years. Actually, we announced the launch of this program in May 2011 right here in Chicago.
Right.
And over the last 6.5 years nationally, we've been able to connect 4 million low-income Americans to the internet at home, most of them for the first time in their lives, and almost 230,000 of them are low-income residents of the city of Chicago. And Chicago is the number one city in America for 6 years in a row in terms of connecting people to the internet under
That's
this
good
program.
To hear. Now, is it a priority-based thing where you want to get the schools set up first, or is it both equally important?
So I talk about what I call a continuum of connectivity.
Okay.
I mean, I look at my kids, and my kids had internet access at home. Mm-hmm. They could go to the Free Library of Philadelphia and get internet access. There were regional computing centers. And, of course, they had internet access at home. And I think every kid in the country deserves that same continuum of connectivity. So I try not to pick winners and losers. We support internet connectivity in the community in Chicago. We have a partnership with the Chicago Public Libraries to support that. We've worked with the mayor on computer connectivity in neighborhoods and in both city facilities
Sure.
and nonprofit facilities. But Internet Essentials is directed at getting people to get connected to the internet at home. So that signature program of Comcast is designed for that last step, if you will, in the continuum of connectivity.
And also, too, you have a program that basically teaches you. It's a literacy training program, which
yep.
I can personally use all the time.
Right. Well, so believe me, so could I.
Right.
So a lot of people assume that the reason why low-income Americans are not connected to the internet is because of the cost.
Right.
And that is a factor. There's no doubt about it. There's a huge amount of research about this. But the number one barrier to internet adoption among that 25% of the population that doesn't have it is this bucket of digital literacy, digital relevance skills. The people don't know how to use the internet. They don't. They're afraid of the internet.
Well, it's like anything else. If you're not exposed right. to it or don't have access, how are you supposed to learn?
And they don't understand.
Now with smart TVs, too.
Right, and they don't understand the relevance of the internet to their lives. They
right.
don't understand that. They don't naturally understand that now their kids, to do their homework, need to have the internet. They don't understand that they can get access to health care. They don't understand they can get access to news, information, and entertainment, that's how you look for a job and apply for a job. So we designed a program to get at all of the barriers of adoption, including this digital literacy barrier. And a major feature of that is a national program through our nonprofit partners to really bring digital literacy training into low-income communities in America.
So how is this being rolled out to the communities?
So the digital literacy is done primarily through nonprofit partners.
Okay.
So in Chicago,
the YMCA.
YMCA is a yeah. national partner.
Right.
Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
Chicago Public Libraries is a partner.
Then it's up to them then to let kids know and families
right.
know that it's available.
And we help promote as an right. Internet Essentials website, and you can go in and plug your zip code in,
right.
and it will tell you where the in-person digital literacy training programs are being offered closest to your zip code. And so over 6.5 years, we've committed over $350 million to these programs, and we have
That's
trained
a lot of money.
And we have trained over 5 million low-income Americans, given them at least some exposure to internet training. And
well, part of it, I mean, there has to be some sweat equity involved. You know, you can't take them along and just go, okay, here's what you do now, here's what you do next, here's what you do next.
Right.
You want to whet their appetite so they, in turn, develop more interest and they can help spread their own success and knowledge in their own communities.
Right. And we, look, the kids know more about this than their parents.
As always.
So we have a whole family approach here where we'll do that for, a lot of this training is for adults. But what we have found is if we can get the internet into people's homes, the kids will tell their parents how to do it. Their parents will say, gee whiz, how do I do this? How do I do that? And the kids can help them.
I have this lasting image. My son's now 26, but I have this lasting image of Ross at the age of 5, maybe 4.
Yeah.
And this is in the 2.8 modem era of the mid-90s, right? That whole era. Mm-hmm. And just the blue light coming off the computer and his legs not reaching the floor and, you know, manipulating the mouse. And now my one and only perfect granddaughter, you know, seeing her flip through photos.
Isn't that
on
cool?
The phone. She's not even 2 years old.
And nobody, right. and not having been taught that, they just go to whatever it is, the iPad, and just turn it on and start flipping.
Yeah, what about the device piece of this? Because this
that's the third barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's cost of the service, digital literacy, cost of the device. So part of the Internet Essentials program is that we significantly subsidize the cost of a laptop or a desktop for Internet Essentials eligible customers. And you can purchase one for under $150. We also have a number of nonprofit partners, which, you know, foundation partners who will give computers to people. And we have given ourselves thousands of computers to participants in the program. And in fact, without spilling the beans totally, we'll be giving a bunch of computers out today to some young people in Chicago.
Where are you going to announce that?
So we're doing this. We've got several places where we're going today, but we're going to a Chicago Public Library branch, to an elementary school. Those are both places where we'll be doing computer giveaways.
It'd be part of, you know, but you'll see a lot of this covered in the news later.
By the way, just to tout Chicago Public Libraries, by the way, which I know you
know
this. You
have a book you need to return that's way overdue.
Right, yeah, something like that. Yeah. But this is really one of the best public library systems in the country. 12 million people a year come through this branch. I think under the mayor's leadership and under CPL's leadership, they've been at the cutting edge of digital literacy and converting a library from returning a book to being able to use computers and have digital access to the libraries. There's a fantastic program at CPL, which we're very proud to support, that's called Cyber Navigators, which provides one-on-one and small group coaching around digital literacy in 75 branches of CPL. So one of the reasons we're convinced that Chicago leads the country in Internet Essentials signups is because there is this robust infrastructure in Chicago with nonprofit organizations and CPL for delivering digital literacy, digital relevance training to the residents of Chicago.
You know what it is? It's a continuum of connectivity.
Correct.
There you go.
Absolutely right.
You know, and I grew up near Cornell. It's a lot like being a trustee at Penn.
So similar.
Yeah, so absolutely similar.
I've told my mother a long time ago when she said you could go to Cornell, and I said, you can't just go. They have to let you in. You
right?
can't just start attending classes.
You could audit classes and see how quickly they throw you out.
That's kind of what I did.
Right?
Yeah.
I like the fact that for condo buildings and high-rises, too, now you're coupling the internet and the cable and lowering the price. And still, Steve, you can call Comcast and talk to a human being.
Well, I think that's a crucial part of the business, and, yeah. and it's maybe a separate track, but I know that you guys as a corporation have made a recommitment to customer service, because that's the cliche, that there is none. So I think it's an important part of what you guys do going forward.
We said a few years ago that we wanted, and I don't think any other cable company said this or is even trying to do it now, but that our goal was to make customer service the best product that we were offering. And we have to do that. I mean, we're operating in a very competitive environment, and our customers, quite frankly, pay us a lot of money, and they deserve to talk to a human being. They deserve to get good service. And one of the things I'm most excited about is as we apply our technologists to this problem is that we're developing all sorts of tools now that can actually help us to figure out when you're about to have a problem in your house. You may not even know it yet, but we can now predict that, and we can try and troubleshoot it before the problem even surfaces in the home. So that's, I mean, that ultimately is the gold standard, to be able to address those problems before you have the need to call us.
I'm looking for a filter that keeps the Real Housewives of whatever city off my TV. Have you guys worked that out
yet? We have another filter, which is no matter when you turn on your TV, you have the Real Housewives or Law and Order.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take Law and Order.
Either one of them. Both NBC shows, and therefore we like them.
Well done by you. Good luck at Penn, obviously, but thank you for the work you're doing, because I think it's like you. I believe in the importance of this and appreciate the amount of money that Comcast is spending towards it. So fine job by you guys.
Well, thanks for having us on. We appreciate the support. This helps us to promote the program and promote awareness of the program.
And have fun with those kids today.
I always do.
There you go. Nice to see you, David Cohen. Oh, the turkey's on now? The turkey's standing by? Oh, that's exciting. Just to connect you with the story, here again, Vic Vaughn from an hour ago, whenever you're ready, Jake.
Police in Kiwanis, Wisconsin are on the lookout for a wild turkey they say has been terrorizing the city, chasing people and pecking at cars. Kiwanis Police Lieutenant Brad Sanderfoot says the Department of Natural Resources Turkey Task Force tried to shoot it, but his carcass was never found.
So we're not sure if the turkey's still around or if it left somewhere and go somewhere else, or we're not sure where the turkey is.
How about that?
Yeah, turkey's on a bus headed out of town. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. Let's go to the turkey on the phone now. Is this the turkey from the story?
You're not going to find me, Cutha. You're not going to know where I'm at. I'm everywhere I want to be. I just show up, and then that's what I do.
He's a turkey on the run from the law. Why are you so angry?
We got Thanksgiving coming up, you see? This is how it goes, see? Thanksgiving comes up. I don't like it, see? I don't want to be anybody's dinner plate, see? So I'll just do whatever I want. I'll pick at your car. You don't can't make me stop.
How old are you, turkey?
Who cares? Who are you?
Well, I'm
you
seeing...
think you're going to find me, copper?
Were you watching a lot of the movie channel or something? You sound like an old gangster movie.
Oh, that's what you're making fun of me now, say? Guess what? I'm going to go out and do the big white lightning. I'm going to peck at your car.
Wow. Oh, this is not good. He knows my car.
See, Edward G. Robinson?
He is Edward G.
See,
Turkey Robinson.
See, you're going to peck at your car.
Don't you peck at my car.
That sounds like the coach, too.
Oh, who's making fun of me? The sports guy?
No.
No. It's Grzanich.
Because I'll tell you right now, I know what you drive to, and it.
Oh, ha-ha.
I know this all morning thing. You guys are a bunch of pansies.
Caught yourself there, didn't you, turkey?
I did.
By the way, Grzanich, a Northern European word for not helping.
Right. And you know the Arby's has that new fried turkey sandwich.
Oh,
right
no.
Oh, don't bring that up.
Oh, yeah. What's yeah, keep talking, Grzanich. Your name sounds like a sneeze.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Turkey. Good luck to you.
Yeah, whatever, copper.
Copper.
News next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
/7:13, we're dialing up Coach Fitz here. We're making an effort to do the same. We're having a phone issue. And Dave Bennett will preview the game right now in what we like to call a stall. So tomorrow, you're going to play who?
The Wildcats will take on the number 16 Michigan State Spartans, who are off to a 4-0 start in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're very good.
Where are we playing this game?
This game will be played at Ryan Field in Evanston, Illinois.
Beautiful Evanston.
Beautiful
Illinois.
Evanston, Illinois at 2:30 Central Time tomorrow afternoon.
So pregame will be when?
At 2 o'clock.
What do you anticipate tomorrow to be the biggest need for Northwestern to stay competitive and to get a shot at winning this game?
You know, and I think it's going to be very similar to the game we saw last Saturday. I think that,
well, that ended well.
It did end well, but it took 60 minutes plus to win that game. And I think it's going to be the same kind of game. I think there's kind of similar teams. Michigan State and Iowa. And I think Northwestern's defense is playing really as well as just about any defense in the Big Ten right now. So this figures to be another one of those games.
What was the final last weekend?
It was 17-10 in overtime.
Yes. And the second half just felt like it got better and better to me.
Well, I mean, I think the defense shut down Iowa in the second half, and that's probably what they're going to need to do tomorrow against Michigan State. Michigan State, I think, a really interesting team. A lot of people remember 2 years ago, this team won the Big Ten. They won the Big Ten championship.
And last year,
fell to 3-9, and everyone's like, okay, well, Michigan State had their day. And I kept thinking last offseason, watch Michigan State, because Mark D'Antonio's a terrific coach. You know they've got talent there, and they're going to have a bounce-back year. They're 6-1. They're 4-0 in the Big Ten.
Well, I'd be lying if I said I pay a lot of attention to Michigan State football. What happened last year? A lot of injuries?
Not so much.
Just a weird.
It was just one of those things. They once it starts going bad, sometimes it's hard to stop it. And it was one of those years.
Coach Pat Fitzgerald joins us now. We like the way last weekend ended. Can we do that again?
I would love it if it ended a little bit earlier than as long as we had to go. But, yeah, let's do it. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, regulation overtime. Dave, who's this brought to us by?
This is brought to us by our friends at the Fields Auto Group.
So you get a little momentum off a win like that. How do you keep it going for a week?
Well, you just got to get back to work. You know, I thought the guys had a great week of practice again. They've been very focused, and we know the challenge at hand. We're playing a very good football team here on Saturday in Michigan State, and it should be a great challenge.
Dave and I were just talking about Michigan State's weird anomaly of a year last year, and they're back at it this year, probably better than even they expected. How'd they turn it around so quickly? Any idea?
Well, they're very talented and well-coached. I think last year was kind of more of a, I would agree, an anomaly. They had a bunch of injuries. They kind of didn't have they weren't really settled on a quarterback, and they're kind of a little revolving door there. But no doubt they're back to a Mark D'Antonio coach team. They're tough, they're physical, they execute, and, really sound in all three phases. So it's going to be a great challenge, which should be a heck of a football game.
I just made the point before you joined us that I think they're kind of similar to Iowa, and it could be the same kind of a game. But some fun facts about your defense, especially against the run.
Wait, I didn't know we were doing this feature. Defensive fun facts.
Defensive fun facts.
All right, fire away.
Okay, your defense, you've held 5 straight opponents below their average against defense against the run we're talking here. You've held your last 3 under 100 yards rushing. That includes Penn State, by the way, and the last 2 under 90 yards on the ground. Do you see a swagger developing there?
Those are fun facts.
No, aren't they? I thought you would think those were fun.
Yes, I like that. Dave edits defensive fun facts.
Yeah, there should be like theme music to that. Yeah. But at any rate, the guys are playing really hard, Dave, and I think you're enjoying calling, the way that they're playing. They're playing together. They're playing with great passion. And, Michigan State presents a different problem here than we've maybe seen, maybe a little bit more similar to Maryland, where they're going to try to get the ball off tackle a little bit more. They're going to have a lot of motion and shift to what they're doing, and then, run 5, 6, 7 running plays. So, we've got to fit things properly, and we've got to do a great job tackling, because their backs and receivers are very, very talented.
They're all must wins at this point, but I like the way, because, you can't look ahead the way we can look ahead as fans, but I like the way the schedule sets up. It's not easy, obviously. It's the Big Ten. But this game tomorrow, it's another one of those cliched must wins, Dave. And coach.
Yeah. Well, they all are. I think you're right, right?
Yeah, it could be a big catalyst. There's no doubt about that. If you play a top 20 team, that could be our third straight win. And then we've got a real tough road test a week from now. So, this is a big win. And it's also our last game in October. We played pretty well this month, and now we've got to go finish it off.
Your quarterback, Clayton Thorson, who is a third-year starter, will make his 34th start tomorrow.
Wait, are these offensive fun facts?
Well, yeah, I guess they are.
All right, what do you got?
I hadn't given them a title yet.
Fine.
But if Clayton, if you win tomorrow, Clayton will tie for the most wins, and I know it's a team game, and I know it's not all on the quarterback, but the most wins by a quarterback in Northwestern history, he would tie Brett Bazinet. And to me, Coach, that's a pretty impressive number for a guy who started day one as a redshirt freshman and has started every game since then. And, you know, certainly it's not easy. There have been some ups and downs along the way, but to have a chance to win his 22nd game tomorrow is pretty impressive.
Yeah, no question. And you're right, it's not easy. And I think he's handled it incredibly well. You know, it's amazing. Yeah, that position, it gets so much credit, you know, and then it gets so much of the blame. And to see the way that he's handled both the ups and the downs has just been so impressive. And he's been growing every single day, every single month, every single year as a leader. And just so proud of him. And it would be neat for him to be able to get that done. That would be a really another fun fact for next Friday.
There you go. There you go. And here's one more. You know, Steve Cochran has distinguished himself as a punt returner at Ryan Field
absolutely.
A few years. I think it was against Michigan State,
I
by
believe
the way.
That's right, yes.
And last week, your punter, Hunter Nyswander, not only averaged over 50 yards a punt, but he had an 80-yard punt tied for the fourth longest in Northwestern history. I had only seen one punt longer than that, and that was from a former teammate of yours, Paul Burton, who had a 90-yarder. So I'm wondering if we could arrange to have Steve out there to try to field a Hunter Nyswander 80-yard punt.
I don't think I returned that one. I would have just gone fair catch and then left for the day. Gone out and got a sandwich.
Just drop the ball. Mic drop.
Yes.
I'm out. See ya. Bye.
Do you remember the 90-yard punt?
I think I was on the sideline during that play trying to gasp for air.
Reaching for oxygen.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a big afternoon, and it looks like the weather is going to be crisp and football-like. What do we know about the wind? Is it going to be windy on the lake, Dave?
Well, it was last week. I don't know about tomorrow.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to be pretty moderate, but you never know. As we know, Lake Michigan decides to do what she wants to do. So it should be a great day for football. It should be an awesome game. And just very thankful to all of our fans for the great support. And look forward to having a lot of fun tomorrow in Ryan Field.
Get a full house out there. All right, Coach, have a great time and happy Halloween weekend.
Yeah, happy Halloween. Thanks, guys. Go Cats.
There you go. That's Coach Fitz, brought to you by
Fields Auto Group.
You recognize this? Do you?
Yeah, it's the Illini Fight Song.
The Illini Fight Song, that's right. Because it's not just Northwestern, we're covering the Big Ten top to bottom. Well, that's probably not the best way to put it.
Here it comes.
But I think you know what I mean. Jeff Brown is the dean at the University of Illinois College of Business. And Jeff has some very interesting news that I wanted you guys to know. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
We're doing fine. I think it's time for a little Illini good news here. And a thank you to some very generous folks. What kind of news did you get recently?
Oh, it's about the best news anybody could hope for. So two of our alumni, Larry and Beth Geese. Larry's a graduate of the College of Business from 1988.
Okay.
And we announced yesterday that we are naming the college in their honor.
And by the way, it's not because they won a raffle.
No.
You know, it's not because they bought a ticket and won a raffle. They have made an unbelievable contribution, a donation to the school.
That's exactly right. Unprecedented $150 million gift to the College of Business.
How about that?
And we couldn't be more pleased. You know, Larry is one of our great alums and went on to be a very successful entrepreneur right there in Chicago.
$150 million gift. Now, have you got the ceremony laid out of how you're going to do this?
Sure. We had a lot of great events internally in the college yesterday. The donor is scheduled to arrive here in Champaign in just a few minutes. Is going to spend a day interacting with our students, which is really the passion of Larry and Beth. At 1 o'clock today on campus, we're going to have a nice little ceremony and have some remarks from our chancellor as well as the donor. So we are really excited about what this means for our college. college and what it's going to enable us to do.
It's not only the largest in Illinois, Jeff, it's the largest gift to any business school in U.S. history. So where specifically will that money? I know there's probably going to be some renovations.
Pens. It's all already, pens. It's all being spent on pens.
There's already the business quad. What specifically, how will the students be able to benefit from this generous and wonderful gift?
Yeah, well, it really is incredible. And yes, it's the largest in the history of the University of Illinois. It's one of the largest in the country, in the history of U.S. schools. Every penny of this gift is ultimately going to go to the benefit of our students. We're not using it for bricks and mortar. We're not building buildings. This is all about scholarships for our students, investing in innovative student programs that are just going to give them an unparalleled experience while they're here, as well as in supporting our faculty and staff who teach our students as well as conduct their research. And we just couldn't be more excited. It's you know, we have a pretty high aspiration here. We want to be the best and most innovative business school in the world, and we want the world to know that. And this gift is certainly a big rocket launch in helping us to achieve that aspiration.
And the With Illinois program, meaning everything's better with Illinois, is a very aggressive and energetic and hopeful number you're trying to hit. This gets you off on a great start for it. So the Geese family, very impressive. What is the name of their company?
Larry is the founder and CEO of Madison Industries, located right there in Chicago. It's essentially a privately held business that owns a number of companies that make everything from fire safety equipment to filtration systems and so forth. But incredible. He's been an incredibly successful businessman.
And a really young guy. He's still a young guy.
He's 51 years old. Absolutely incredible. Our student, you know, he's been, this is a great thing. He has been coming back to this campus every semester since he graduated to speak to our classes. And the students love him. I mean, there are students that met him 15 years ago and he's still in contact with them today. So he's just the terrific role model, just loves this institution. And he is delighted and we are delighted that he has the ability to help fuel our growth and our aspirations. So we're really grateful to him, and we're grateful to so many of our other alumni out there, including many tens of thousands in the Chicagoland area, many of whom are probably listening right now.
No doubt about it.
Important what the people have done to make us who we are.
No doubt about it. Well, congratulations, Jeff, to you and everybody at the school. What do you do as a thank you gift to somebody that gives you $150 million?
Nice,
do you buy them breakfast? What do you do?
Big hug.
Yeah, that's a great one. You know, one of the wonderful things about Larry and Beth is that they're not in this for publicity or for thanks or for anything. For him, the greatest gift is to interact with our students and to really spend time with them and be surrounded by them and just be energized by them. And so, honestly, I think he would probably tell you that's what he is. He's really most excited about here in the college business.
Pretty amazing family. Thanks for the news and congratulations to everybody at the U of I. And now Mary and Andrea will join in. ILL.
I and I.
We're going to have to get the buzzer.
There we go.
We're going to have to get the buzzer. Thank you, Jeff. Good luck, man.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Dean of the School of Business celebrating a gift of $150 million.
How about that?
It's pretty good.
That's already a fantastic business
pretty
school.
Good.
It's going to put it over the top.
And you know, with the state funding for the public school system not being great, how about that for timing?
Perfect timing.
Need it.
Perfect timing.
Now if we can find someone for the College of Communications, come on.
Well, that could be you two.
College of Media.
Yeah.
You
two. Oh, that's right. It's the College of Media now.
Are you two, you and Mary, about to announce that you're giving $150 million to your alma mater?
Andrea?
Not quite that much, but...
How about $150?
Yeah, that'll work.
We could probably swing that.
7:33, big story next, 7:20, WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hemp. Dan Hemp anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Hall of Famer joins us right now as the Bears. Who saw this coming? Looking at three in a row this weekend. Not going to be easy against those New Orleans Saints, is it?
No. Hey, good morning. And you're exactly right. Three could be the charm, but it's going to be kind of tough. Obviously, the going back to the scene of the crime, you know, realizing that all these big domes, and, you know, I know after you do it a number of times, you get more and more used to it, but for a rookie quarterback on the road, hostile environment, a lot more volume to the noise, the crowd. And so, you know, the one guy that's really going to have this on his shoulders will be little sugar baby, Mitch Trubisky. And we'll see if he can respond. You know, there's been a lot made of the fact that they kept him under wraps last week. He only attempted, 8 passes and completed 4 and all those things. He's going to need all of his guts and guile to be able to pass this test. The Saints have won 4 in a row, and don't look now, but somehow they've kind of got a defense going. So it won't be easy.
Now, Trubisky gets some help this week in Dontrell Inman. What do we know about him, and how good is he?
Well, how much will he be up to speed?
Is this one of those deals where the quarterback has a stick in the huddle on the ground and goes, run towards the Buick and turn left?
Well, I doubt we're going to see him.
You don't think so?
I mean, it's possible, but it's doubtful.
Yeah, last year he caught 58 passes, only 2 thus far. This year he's had injuries. If you're counting on him,
that's a problem.
We got to get a better plan. Yeah, we need a new. Hey, and by the way, you know, back to Joe Madden, and you're asking about the coaches.
Yeah.
Traditionally, in every sport, you know, the head coach may not have total call on who the players are, the schedule, or what hotel they stay, but they pretty much always they have you know, almost total control over assistant coaches. So essentially, this is we're going to make some changes since things didn't work out this year, and that pretty much that's coming from Joe Madden. But in the same regard, you know, pretty much every head coach in all the major sports, they have total control of that, except one instance that I can remember.
Yeah, I know where you're going, Hamp.
Yeah, and we know how that worked out.
Buddy Ryan.
A fist fight in the shower in Miami. There you go.
but how many times have you had 2 head coaches?
Seldom. Other than when one gets fired. And then
right, that trims it down.
In the season with the other one.
Right. It's Dan Hampton and previewing the Bears and the Saints on Sunday. I don't know how much better that defense can get.
Boy, they're pretty salty. And, you know, I was talking with McMichael, you know, 3 weeks ago against Minnesota, pretty good team, not a great team, pretty good team. They held the Vikings to 3 points in the first half. The next week, Baltimore, 3 points in the first half. Last week, you know, it 3 points in the first. If you keep that up, I mean, you can win a lot of games. So, it's a combination of a lot of things happening. You know, Keen Hicks has really been playing great. He's getting help. You know, Eddie Goldman is showing up. Bruce Unrein, the down lineman, they're really becoming more and more violent and dominant. And then everybody else kind of, you know, flourishes. Danny Trevathan has played like a monster the last couple of weeks. But the secondary has been the part of the defense that's made big play after big play. And the 2 corners, Kyle Fuller has played super, not only in pass, coverage, but his run forces last week. He was the guy that flipped Cam Newton to 6'6", 240 pounds. So, I mean, they're playing great. Marcus Cooper, senior, had his hand in there, which sent the ball up, which allowed Eddie Jackson to you know, intercept it and return it and make NFL history. So there's a lot of good things happening on the defense right now.
Come back with Hamp in just a second. We'll get traffic first from Area. Again, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer from your Chicago Bears. As the Bears get ready to play New Orleans, Dave.
Hamp, you mentioned Kyle Fuller a couple of minutes ago, and I don't think there's any question but that this is a different player than we've seen. So what's going on? Is it a question of him being finally healthy? Is it a question of them, Vic Fangio, putting him in position to have success, or is it just like, okay, he's at that point in his career where the light finally came on?
Well, you don't really know. And so many, over the years, I played with so many different guys that had different agendas, different philosophies. Some of them, you know, it was like, how little can I get away with? Other ones were, you know, how long can I stay? I'll do anything. I'll play for free. So I don't know about Kyle Fuller. Other than his rookie year, he made a couple of great plays on interceptions that made me go, wow, we haven't had somebody like that. And well, somehow, some way, he kind of got off the rails. And in the transition from the Mel Tucker defense to the Vic Fangio defense, Mel Tucker was more of a soft zone. You know, Vic, he wants his corners up there working. And so you have to work and transform yourself, and you have to adapt. And he was injured most of last year, and I think we all know this is his fourth year, and this is the year that you earn a new contract. And I say earn, most of, you know, if you think, hey, it's just going to happen, well, you look around the league, I would think that, you know, most of the players, they have almost a career year in their fourth year because they realize the importance of it. So I think all those factors coming together. And the other one was, you know, Vic Fangio kind of called him out in December last year, basically saying, hey, we need him, but he won't even engage. Well, over the offseason, you know, a lot of times players can grow up and make their mind up and say, hey, I'm going to be that guy. And he has become that guy. And, you know, they went out and signed Prince Amukamara and, of course, Marcus Cooper, thinking that Kyle Fuller wouldn't be there. Well, guess what? Right now, Kyle Fuller is starting, and he's the best of the three.
You know, the Bears are benefiting from one of the weirder years in the NFL I think we've seen recently. I keep calling it the race to 8-8, because with the exception of the Eagles, maybe the...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Let's all say...
Yeah,
why they gotta be white guys?
Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Big Friday with Dean. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning to you.
Everything fine?
Oh, everything is just great.
Is it hunky and Dory?
Not so much hunky.
Mostly Dory.
I would say it's a mostly Dory morning today.
David Letterman's in the news. Ellen's in the news. Paul Newman's still dead, and he's in the news.
And Steve Cochran is also in our entertainment report today.
Oh, I didn't know that. Do you know I'm on sale?
Boy, I knew you were easily bought.
Let's go to John DeCoss on this. John, am I still on sale?
You are still on sale. Markdown continues today.
Tell them what the promo code is.
Promo code is John. Go to zanies.com, put in John, half price tickets.
How much do tickets cost tonight?
They're $11.
11 bucks? You can't go to a movie for 11 bucks.
That's right.
But Dean, you can't.
That's why tonight on stage I'm going to be recreating scenes from my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Because you're paying a movie ticket price.
Dean, sale every day.
You can't use that code, though, for anything other than the tickets.
Probably no, you can. Yes, you can.
You can. Okay. Yeah.
So like what? If you go to Jewel, just use Jewel. Use the promo
say
code
John,
John,
and you'll save on Jewel
your
items.
Number in the little keypad, you just put John.
No, you just stand there when you're checking out, and you say to the kid checking out, John. John.
That's it.
John.
You don't even have to pay tolls. Just yell John, and you go right through.
Because they already don't look at you like you're 1,000 years old.
Tomorrow at 4 o'clock with Tim Cavanaugh tonight, and that's at Rosemont Zanies. Tonight at 8 o'clock in Pheasant Run in St. Charles.
Thanks for taking my entertainment report.
Mike Timmy. Oh, was that me? Was that my event?
That was your event.
Oh, okay, we'll throw that in there again. Just pretend we didn't talk about it. We'll do traffic here in just a second, but I wanted to ask, do you know what you're going to be for Halloween?
Me?
Yeah.
I haven't planned on it yet.
I know you love to dress up.
Well, that's true. That's a whole nother issue. No, I haven't.
With your love of clowns, like, you know, Batman had Robin. Who would the most famous clown sidekick be?
Well, the Cookie. You know, if you're going strict WGN TV version, you could be Cookie or Wizzo.
Wizzo is a prostate issue, isn't it?
Wizzo.
That's the doody-doody-doody guy.
Wizzo is the famous...
Wizzo's doody-doody.
He's the wizard. Wizzo the wizard.
Ah, yes.
From Arabia with his stone of Zanzibar.
Mm. I'm sorry. How did I not know that?
If you're going Bozo cartoon, Bozo's sidekick was Butchie Boy.
Yeah. Hey there, Butchie Boy!
Isn't it funny how some things don't translate in 2017?
It's a whole different meaning these days. Yes.
Nursery rhymes don't translate, I think, in this day. Like rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. I mean, that was...
Yeah. Yeah, because honestly, get your own tub.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 2017. At this point,
I'm taking a bath, which, by the way, I haven't done since about 1970. Why are there other people in the tub?
So it's Dean's never, Halloween costume.
It's never really explained why there were three men in the tub. I never understood why Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall either.
Yeah. And who shoved him? Because someone shoved him.
Yeah. You don't just fall. If you're big, like, you know, you're a big egg like Humpty Dumpty, you're sitting there. You should be pretty solid on that wall. Mm-hmm. Somebody came up. I think there was a lot of people don't know this whole Humpty Dumpty story.
Uh-huh.
There was a grassy knoll that was nearby.
Oh, is there a second shover and behind the grassy knoll?
A lot of people think there was a film that actually captured this. But there was a moment of the film that was blurred by a street sign.
Mm-hmm.
But there were apparently a lot of people's theories.
That was the Zippy Pruder film. Yeah, we don't have a complete. Too soon? Is that what I'm hearing? Too soon?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Coach Q coming up. Before we get to Coach Q, more with Dean. All right, so what's Letterman apologizing for?
Well, Monica Lewinsky in interview. Remember Monica Lewinsky?
Nope, doesn't ring a bell.
Part of a presidential scandal.
Bill
many,
Clinton.
Many
oh,
years
yeah,
ago.
Bill Clinton's pants problem.
Blue
former
dress.
Intern.
Yep,
yep,
you know,
yep. Had her life ruined. Well, he got to continue to go on and be Bill Clinton and make millions.
Exactly.
Got
now,
it.
Now you're tracking with the whole thing.
Got it.
She was interviewed recently in Vanity Fair magazine and said, you know, talked about how, you know, one minute she went to bed a private citizen, the next minute she was a national public humiliation. She disclosed that David Letterman contacted her shortly a couple of years ago and apologized to her for
the jokes,
making her the butt of so many jokes.
Well, that's actually a nice thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Letterman making amends.
Well, Steve will be good. Doing the same thing with various people.
Whew, it's going to take a while.
After the show today.
I will not be calling the White House. All right, so I see this picture of Ellen looking at Katy Perry's boobs.
Right.
And she's taking a lot of heat for this.
She is taking a ton of heat for it because what she did was she posted something on Twitter. She was posing with Katy Perry and Portia de Rossi, her, I think.
Yeah, they're married, her wife,
I think they're legally married now. But anyway, Katy posted this, or Ellen, rather, posted this picture that said, "Happy birthday, Katy Perry, it's time to bring out the big balloons." And she's staring at Katy Perry's breasts with her jaw dropped open.
They're very impressive.
Well, yes. Yes, they
yes.
are.
So
but a lot of people
are saying it's hypocritical, right?
Jumped all over Ellen, who's been critical of Harvey Weinstein and all of the sexual assault talk lately, saying that if this had been a man who had posted a picture like this, commenting on a woman's breast, you know, there would be outroar about it. Why is it okay for Ellen to do it?
How do we feel about that?
I think there is... I think that the timing is incredibly bad about this. I mean, they're apparently friends, and you know you can goof around with your friends differently than you can with strangers. But
as a public person, know that
it's don't criticize sexual assault and then do it yourself.
Yeah,
I can sort of see that.
Well, it's like I said earlier, but when I said I got it wrong about President Bush,
right.
Because I wanted to give President Bush a pass because he's an old guy with major health problems.
Mm-hmm.
But now a third woman has come forward and someone in the president's inner circle, even though there is a bit of dementia that causes you apparently to lose your self-control impulses, someone in his world had either tell him to stop taking pictures with people or not take any more pictures with people and him. or just make sure he didn't do it again. Mm-hmm. Make sure the women didn't stand next to him or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous for anybody, including a sickly 93-year-old man, to behave that way.
Yeah. I think, you know, part of it is the, you know, people don't want, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the shouldn't be so politically correct. You
yeah,
know,
or lighten up, to, lighten should, up. We're hearing a lot of lighten up.
Yeah, you should be able to goof around with your friends. Right now, I mean, it's kind of a tacit endorsement of that kind of behavior if you see somebody doing it. I get it. I understand it because, I've actually had to catch myself a couple of times with friends joking around where once I said something seemed incredibly inappropriate given everything that's going on right now. I certainly never meant it that way, but right now it sure seems like it's very hypocritical if you say something like that.
Right.
Now. So I get it.
Right. And we have thrown away about 47,000 punchlines in the last week because this is not the right timing.
Yeah. And that said, Steve, my eyes are up here.
Apologize for that too. Paul Newman's watch was stolen.
No, it was. It went up on auction.
Who stole it?
Nobody stole it. There doesn't always have to be a celebrity jewelry thief involved in things.
I thought this segment always had celebrity jewelry thieves.
Not always.
Oh, okay.
Not always. On Fridays, I try to do more uplifting stories.
So who had the watch?
So it was a watch that it was a Rolex Daytona that I guess is I'm not familiar with Rolexes that much. But,
it's like a Timex, but it costs a lot more.
I guess it's a pretty big deal watch, but it bounced around the Newman family, and you know when personal effects were sold, you know was sold with things, but it went up for auction the other day. Paul Newman's personal items, this Rolex watch. What would you guess a Rolex watch might go for in an auction?
Oh, well, it's Paul Newman's. I would guess $20,000.
$17 million.
Wow.
Okay, honestly,
$17.8 million.
What are you going to do with it? Is that are you going to wear it?
Yeah, but
paid $17 million for that.
Yeah, there's no value equivalence there. It's just somebody really wanted to own it, right?
Yes, it is now, according to records, whoever keeps these records, the most expensive watch that has ever been sold at an auction.
Yeah,
yeah. Actually, quite a few people wanted to own it. Because you don't get up to $17 million.
Right, and to drive the price up.
There was a bidding war. That's very true. There was a big bidding war on it. So,
movies
I got my
is...
Seiko watch from the 1970s. So
does
far,
it yeah, does it bid... come with a warranty? The $17 million?
No, but it does come with two straps. One is a leatherette.
What? Okay.
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw was not screened for the critics, Steve. Jigsaw is the eighth movie in the Saw franchise for the Halloween weekend. I don't know. I have no idea why they didn't want the critics to overanalyze.
Because it sucks.
This. okay. We can go with that.
But yeah, that's usually the reason.
That's out this weekend and very likely to be the number one movie of the weekend.
What's Thank You for Your Service?
Thank You for Your Service is this movie about three Iraqi war veterans who returned to their hometowns and are suffering PTSD and a whole variety of other demons when they returned back to their hometown, which is not the way it was when they left and served several tours of duty in Iraq. It's a story about the emotional toll that our fighting men and women go through. Miles Teller stars in this movie and is great, but really worth pointing out is a very small role in this movie by Amy Schumer, of all people, in a completely 100% dramatic role as the widow of one of the soldiers who did not make it back.
Huh.
She is quite good in this movie, and it's powerful, and it's sometimes difficult to watch this movie, but it's about mainly these three guys who are struggling being back with their families and friends and trying to find what their place is in civilian life again.
And Suburbicon?
Suburbicon is the Matt Damon, Julianne Moore movie. That's
directed by George Clooney?
Directed by George Clooney, written by the Coen brothers. It's very much like a quirky, dark comedy Coen brothers movie about an insurance scam that goes bad, but also interweaves, it's set in this Eisenhower-era perfect suburban utopia, at least, that everyone thought was so perfect, where all the houses were perfect and all the families were perfect and everything was manicured and, you know, neat and nice. And but behind closed doors, things were not so pretty and not so great. Part of it, the biggest subplot in this movie is that the first African-American family moves into this perfect suburb, and the neighbors are not so happy about that. So you've got this kind of quirky Coen Brothers movie going on at the same time you have this gritty story of prejudice and hate and humiliation going on at the same time. And the two things just really don't combine well together. This movie would have been better served by just kind of having one plot, pick a direction. It's a little bit overstuffed. So it is cool looking, I will say, and the performances are great. But a little bit too much going on in this movie. I wound up giving it Dean's List C. Thank you for our service. I really loved it. I gave it a B+.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't get you great. Thanks for the plug for Zanies that you were going to do. But I think more importantly right now, roll the music. Yes, it's time once again for Dean's Celebrity Real Estate Listings.
Steve, because I've been on vacation, I've been wrapping up some deals in my side business as a Century 21 real estate agent.
Yes.
Mostly because I look so damn good in those yellow blazers.
Don't you ever.
We just closed a deal for Ellen DeGeneres for an $8 million mansion.
Oh, time to bring out the big balloon.
Hey.
Ben Affleck and his new girlfriend are shopping around for a house. We're working on that right now. But, Steve, I wanted to bring to your attention one honey of a deal that we just found. It is said to be, if it sells at this price, if it sells at the asking price, Steve,
yes,
this will be the most expensive house that has ever been sold.
Is this a double wide with a new trailer hitch?
This is a 35-acre property that's in the south of France that makes royal palaces there look like outhouses.
Okay.
That's why this is such a honey.
Tell me what some of the amenities might be and what the specs are.
All right. 14 bedrooms.
Yep. I need all of them.
25 greenhouses.
Oh, I don't need 25. Maybe I could take 5 of the 25 them into another bedroom.
Olympic size swimming pool.
Got to have that.
Did I mention this is an 18,000 square foot home, by the way? That also.
Did not. That bumps me up from the 16.5 shack I'm currently living
features,
in.
Features this property, Steve, also features olive trees built all over it. This used to be an olive farm.
Interesting.
So it's.
I don't like olives.
I love olives. Can I have one of your
how does
olive
anybody
fields?
Not like olives?
I don't like olives.
I know a lot of people don't. I do not get that. They're so delicious.
I don't like them either. Like
this house, it's got a library. It's the former residence of King Leopold II of Belgium.
Yep.
Steve, I can get you in this, honey, for an asking price of $410
million. $410 million. If it goes for that number, that is the most expensive house
ever been sold.
That's ever been sold.
Steve, real estate interest rates are low right now. I would jump on this.
All right, let me just see how much cash I have. That's 20, 40, 68,
come on,
100.
Steve, the Belgian king had it. I have to have that. Buy it for me.
King
Dean,
Leopold's house.
Does that include PMI?
Andrew Lloyd PMI? Webber is a neighbor. Andrew,
I got $166 in cash that I'm willing to put up right now.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is right next door. You could be sitting in your olive tree listening
serenaded
to him singing Broadway shows.
You know what might be fun after I buy the house is to put on a kitty cat suit and then run up and down his yard. Midnight!
Well, if anyone's interested, just contact my real estate office. Because I'm going to be busy with the Ben Affleck deal most of the day today.
I understand.
But if anyone is interested.
And listen to Dean on Sunday.
George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Julianne Moore on Sunday, by the way.
Coach Q coming up. Big story next, 720 though, DJN. A little of the best of the Who for one of the best coaches ever. Coach Q loves the Who. This is where I shut up and Pete Townsend takes over.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Not just a restaurant. That's a way of life. Let's go to Coach Q now. And Coach, Pinball Wizard, where does it rank on your favorites?
It's one of their better songs, you know. I think it's that album is a tremendous album. I mean, there's a lot of songs that you don't even play that get a similar ring to it that get your attention. But you hear that song, I think of the whole Tommy album, and it's it's one of between that and Quadrophenia, it's good as it gets.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this. What's your favorite Who song all time?
I'm going to say Bubba O'Reilly, maybe.
There you go. Roger Daltrey is here. He has hockey questions, but we'll get those in a second. Line change tonight with a kid?
We're going to move a couple pieces around here. We'll see, maybe make one guy on each line adjust to it and then see how it goes. I know the last 7 games we haven't generated a ton of offense, and maybe this will shake things up. And against a team that is very stingy, and we know it's going to be a tight and tough game. So, hopefully, a little adjustment will help.
Yeah, and again, it's Nashville tonight, and on the road for Colorado tomorrow night. As always, every minute of Hawks action is here. So, DeBrinket, has he still got to put on some weight? Is he working on that? Is he strong enough to play in this league every day?
That was a concern when we came into training camp. I mean, let's watch and see how he handles playing against stronger, bigger guys. And immediately he looks like he belongs. His pace is fast enough. He's quick enough. He sees plays. He's confident with the puck. He can take a hit. That's the area where we want to see, sustaining it over long term in the tight areas, coming up with loose pucks and then fighting through coverage is something that he hasn't shown that he can't do it. I think that's been a very positive start to his season. And we like the fact that not just the way he sees and makes plays, but I think the way he plays without the puck, very responsible going around the right areas. And no matter what situation is, he finds his nose in the puck area, which is good.
Is there any reluctance ever, Joel, when you change lines, when you're splitting up guys who have played together for a long time, and or at least for the first 10 games of the season, whatever it is, maybe you're thinking, what if it doesn't click? What if things don't work with these changes?
Well, we always give it the benefit of the doubt. We could have been visiting this 3 or 4 games ago, and I think we keep going, and you're close, you're there. It's okay, let's go a little bit longer. And last game it gave us an opportunity to say, hey, let's mix it up here a little bit and go from there. But these changes can easily last, could be short term, could be long term, but over the course of the season you get to find out just about everybody with anybody, and so you got a better idea as you go along here. But changing the lines, tweaking them just a tiny bit in this situation is something that we do regularly.
Is it kind of the same thought process with changing your defensive pairings?
D pairings, kind of. I think we get some, they get a little bit more predictable with one another. We're looking to see if maybe the changes can give us a different look, whether there's more offense from the pair, whether there's more gap tightness from the pair, defensively predictable. You're probably looking for different things, but expecting better results or, more productivity is probably at the end of the day what you're looking for.
Who's a bigger pain in your butt, Forsberg or Subban?
Well, Forsberg always plays well against us. Subban, last game they didn't have Josie and Ellis, and Subban played an unbelievable game against us. He's one of those defensemen that gives him some offense, but I thought he defended extremely well against us and had a good night. So we'll see. Both guys are going to play a lot, but Forsberg scores a lot of goals and seems to know how to score against us as well. So let's keep a close eye on him.
Heard a couple of geniuses in the hockey analysis world talking about, Nashville's off to a slow start. It's over for Nashville. Let me tell you something. These guys are such a mosquito. They're such a pain. They're going to be around to bug us all year long.
Well, they're going to be not just us. They're a good hockey team.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got a very good team, and you got as good as a defenseman in the league. And Ellis last year probably was very deserving to be the best defenseman and throughout the playoffs. And when he returns, it's only going to be a big piece for them. But they, you know, they're a team that works hard. They're fast. They're quick. They got an excellent defense, and they got a good goaltender. So they got all the right pieces. We expect Nashville definitely to be around all year.
Yeah, if you remember, they were fourth in the Central last year and ended up. We know what happened after that.
I don't know why you brought that up, Dave. I was in a good mood until you brought that up.
No, well, I was telling you, they got to the final was my point, Steve. We talked to Lance Boma yesterday. What impact has he had through the first 10 games?
I think he's added a nice element to our team. I think he gives us some grit, some size, some toughness, hard to play against, and that whole line's kind of taken on that identity of, you know, puck possession, heavy line, and offensive zone shifts, and keep the other team's head up, and kind of a change from our routine of four lines being all kind of comparable, having a more of a purpose line, and but he definitely brings that ingredient and comes ready to play and competes hard.
Colorado tomorrow night, back-to-back games. Who's in goal tomorrow night, or is it too early to tell?
Too early.
All right, and give me 30 seconds.
But you know the trend.
Yes, we do. My powers of deduction are superb. Give me 30 seconds on Colorado for fans listening tomorrow night.
Gotten off to a good start, off a terrible year last year.
Mm-hmm.
More skill and speed than you think. You got to be ready to play them, kind of like I would say the same approach that we needed against Vegas. So they're going to be they're a fast team. They played Vegas this afternoon too, so it'll be a good test for us tomorrow. You know, I'm only worrying about tonight.
Yeah,
today.
Well, that's your job. My job is to worry about all of them. Coach, have a great weekend. We'll see you soon.
All right, you too.
Thanks. That's Coach Q from your Chicago Blackhawks. So, you want to beat Nashville. You want to beat Nashville, and you want to beat them hard.
And my point, Steve, wasn't that they beat the Blackhawks last year. It was that they beat everybody up until they got to Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup Final.
I was in a good mood, Dave, so you brought that whole thing up.
Well, they are pesky.
Game one, game two, game three, game four, now I'm set.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Welcome in, CLTV Hour here from 720 WGN. John, where are we tonight?
We are at Pheasant Run in St. Charles at Zany's at 8 o'clock, and tomorrow night at Rosemont at 4 o'clock or tomorrow afternoon. But sale today. Please call and go to Zany's.com, use code word John, and tickets are half price.
Mike Toomey for the 8 o'clock show tonight with us, and tomorrow Tim Kavanaugh. Very, very funny as well. Hey, what's going on with the dog costume gallery?
So listeners have already sent me some pictures. Jerry and Jen sent a picture of their dog, who's named Burner, and he's dressed as a stovetop burner, an actual burner.
Mm, fantastic.
And then Bernadette sent a picture of her dog Snickers at the doggy daycare annual Halloween party where the dogs are bobbing for apples, and then Snickers is a ladybug. So I'm adding those to the gallery. So if they keep sending them, the pictures are so cute, I can't stand it. So they're going to be up at they're going to be on WGNRadio.com.
Don't get distracted driving home. Don't start flipping through the gallery and looking. Wait till you get home.
I remember my dog Cleo. I dressed her one year as Boutros Ghali, the Secretary General to the UN, and people went, well, "What's that?" And I went, oh, "Never mind."
Oh God!
Hostages. Dogs are hostages.
Yeah, they are.
You know who's on the phone?
Yes, our good friend Amy.
Amy Rutledge from your Channel 9. Good morning, mother of... She has 43 children
now.
No,
she has three.
I think three is more than I can handle.
How are the twins?
They are doing pretty good. Pretty good. I can't complain. They're good sleepers. Well, or they were until recently, so...
And I forgot, big brother or big sister?
Big brother. So a seven-year-old, and then the twins are 5 months now.
And what does seven-year-old think?
He thinks we're funny. I mean, he just likes to make them laugh. He's no help whatsoever. He won't touch a paper. He won't touch a bottle. He won't do anything. But at least he's old enough where he's also not jealous, so that's good.
Does he want to send them back, Amy?
Not at this age, probably.
I think sometimes he does, but he, like, in the morning, I actually can't get him out the door for school because he's so busy, like, playing with his brothers and trying to, like, act doofusy in front of them.
That's so great about a guy.
That's probably mine. That's probably mine of the two twins.
Yeah, John DeCoste is here, the father of one of your twins.
Yeah.
Hey, John, which one's yours? I forgot.
The one
on
the left.
I think it's the one that's better.
Okay.
They're equal. They're twins. You like them both equally.
The one that's better. The names and the and who's older and who's younger?
Okay, so it's Miles Christopher and Quentin Charles. And Miles is older by 1 minute.
You can tell about with this whole superior attitude.
Oh, yeah. You know. It's the 1 minute.
It's a good one.
Yeah. 60 seconds makes a huge difference, Amy. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something I don't know. Miles technically then would be your middle child.
Yes, right? He's your middle child.
Yeah, so would Miles have the same middle child hang-ups that my sister Leslie has?
He might, although, you know, I read an interesting book a few years ago that because the age difference is so large, he's like, they call him a functional firstborn.
Ah, okay.
So maybe he'll be like the oldest and have attitude.
Amy, they're identical. So how do you, and this is going to sound crazy, but unless you're a mom, I know it's hard. How do you tell them apart?
Okay, so in the very beginning, I couldn't tell them apart. It was, so Quentin, he came home from the hospital in stripes, and so we put him in stripes every day, like San Quentin prison. Quentin was in stripes.
What a sweet thought for the baby.
Yeah, so that worked. And now Miles has a crazy flat head, and we just put him in a helmet, so he's the one in the helmet.
Okay,
well, that's easy to remember. But I would say at some point when his head rounds out through development and all of that, you're probably going to have to take the helmet off. I mean, you're probably going to have to figure out another way.
Yeah, hopefully by then it's just personality-based because they are really different, crazy different.
Well, that's interesting. So, like, one's more outgoing?
Yeah, Quentin is, like, running a marathon every day. He's constantly up and, like, he's got to be looking around. He looks like he's got this constant state of shock on his face.
So that's not you.
The whole world is scaring him, right.
Right.
So Miles
is more introspective?
He's mellow. He's just kind of a chill baby. Until he got the helmet, which is kind of making him angry. So
yeah, I understand that.
That must be John's baby.
I know. I can't wait till I get the, we settle out this visitation rights. When that all settles out, this is going to be pretty cool.
Well, Quentin's shocked by two things. One, that you're his father, and two, that he hasn't made bail.
Well, that's why.
Why am I dressed like an inmate?
And I can always tell him apart because Quentin's looks better. That's how I do it. So. They're both adorable.
They are adorable.
I haven't had a chance to tell you, but it's great to have you back on Channel 9. I'd watch you afternoons, mornings, nights, whenever. And I think you're great, and I think you're a tremendous piece of that broadcast, and I want you on more, not less.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Talk to the bosses. Talk to Jen. Give her a call. I'm all for it. Anything to get me out of the house. It's great.
Out of the house and up in the air.
You want me to work late? Okay, I could stay.
Paul Rennie is a really good guy. Maybe we can get Paul just to get a giant crib in his office. You ever been in the office over there for the boss?
Yes.
It's a big office.
I don't necessarily want to bring them to work, though. That's the idea of is getting away.
No, what I'm saying, if they're in the office, Paul has to watch them. Rennie. Perfect. Okay. Paul Rennie would watch him. And, you know, McElroy could put her kids in there, too.
Right. That's perfect.
Right.
I mean, her kids are a little bit bigger. They could teach mine something.
There you go.
And the Jeff Hoover could go in there because he's a baby.
And he should babysit them, too. You imagine that? Did you see Hoover with four babies?
Oh, no.
Yeah, because the babies would be going, why is he less mature than we are?
They'd all have, like, mini champagne flutes in their hands. Right? Love Hoover.
But then they'd sleep better, so I'm all for it.
All right, so John, I'm glad you and John are not in court over this.
No. We're fine.
I'm taking Miles anyway.
Amy's like, I'm going back to work. You're taking Miles.
And remind everybody what Big Brother's name is.
Henry.
Henry is such a cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I like the classics. Yeah. A little bit more of the classics.
Henry, Quentin, and Miles.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And the twins, their room, they have Q&M. On the wall, so they're a little James Bondish too.
And they're produced by Quinn Martin.
They are Quinn Martin production.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're under 60, you won't know what that reference is.
That's why I threw it out there.
They're gonna say Quentin.
Thank you. Okay.
Great talking to you. You're welcome to come in here anytime just to get away from the children.
Well, that's the new pictures to add to the pet gallery. You got to have the baby gallery because they're not going anywhere, but I'm dressing them up for Halloween and they're going.
Send them in.
Voldemort and Harry Potter.
Yeah, send them in.
Oh, that's a
send
good one.
That is good.
That is good. Hey, Amy, are you able to tease the story that you're working on with the emails that you sent to the staff?
Oh, yeah. This is funny. It's just fun to talk about. So I'm working on a series of stories where we're taking commuter complaints. Everything that makes you angry out on the road, we're taking it, we're addressing it. You know, like people that drive too slow in the left lane, people that don't use their turn signals, all that kind of stuff. And learning quite a bit, actually, too. So some of the stuff that actually has been making people angry, I've learned now that people shouldn't be angry about.
And everybody at Channel 9 is pretty much just angry, period. So that angry just fuels period. Our fire.
I sent out an email looking for suggestions. Within 30 seconds, I had about 200 emails of complaints.
No kidding. Yeah. Wait, is there one that's central complaint for most people?
I think the driving in the left lane is good. And then, you know, okay, so here's a really good one that I got from a lot of people that I learned about. You know, when you're driving and it's merging down to one lane and people go all the way to the end and then merge to the right to get into that lane.
Mm-hmm.
People are mad about drivers that go all the way to the end and wait to get in. But what we've learned is that you're supposed to go all the way to the end and then get in. It's called a zipper merge, and it continues to move traffic more smoothly.
Yep. Absolutely true. For people who stop and try to weasel their way in right away, you are literally slowing down the entire process. You're slowing down the people you're trying to merge with, and you're slowing down the ramp as well.
And then you get the people that, like, try to pull out to not let anyone go down the left side, kind of, you know, be jerkish about it. They're screwing it up, too.
They are screwing it up. And the other ones, I haven't had a chance to send you an email. The other one that drives me nuts is you're trying to merge onto the road, and the person next to you, who clearly has nowhere they can go, they're not going to save a second of time, guns it to block you from merging.
Right.
Where exactly do you think I'm going to go?
Right.
I've got one option. I have to go left here.
Right.
Yeah, the road is ending.
Yeah.
So Amy learned we're all full of road rage.
We're all full of road rage, and so we all need to learn a lesson or two, so that's what we're working on.
And the Amish with their horses. Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. On the Kennedy, no less.
Amy Rutledge, 47 children now.
Three.
It's three.
I think we're done.
Great having you on, and please come see us when you can.
Thanks, guys. It sure will.
All right, see you, thanks. Amy.
By the way, there's no chance she's coming in. She's got two twins.
I know.
As a matter of fact, that's where they come in.
I thought it was just because of me.
Two twins. What? Did I hear what I said?
Two twins.
Was that tense for you? Did it work out okay?
No, it worked out fine. I was a little nervous, but, you know, whatever.
Did you guys have a song when you were together, you and Amy?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was Amy.
Oh, the Pure Prairie
You've
League song.
You've got two twins.
Yeah.
Three triplets.
The Pure Prairie League song is all
and
it was?
47 children in a shoe.
It's hard to believe she left you. It's 9:23. We're back with the match game next at 720 WGN. Call now if you want to play. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Next two people to call and get to play match game for prizes next on 720 WGN. It's the match game. Ron and Mike's ready to play. Everyone get ready to write down your celebrity answers. John DeCoste is your host, and this is nothing like the match game that used to be on TV. This is a completely new concept. Let me find your microphone. John, and say hello.
Oh, I'm here. Hello.
All right.
Hello, contestants.
Let's go to Ron. Hello. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
We are fine. I'm sure you know how to play, so let's jump right to the game. What is Ron's question?
Ron, are you ready?
Yes.
There we go. Steve Grzanich is set to star in the new film version of The A-Team. Instead of saying, "I pity the fool," he says, "I pity the blank." I will repeat
right,
that.
Don't answer yours until we tell you all the celebrities are ready. Give it to me again.
Steve Grzanich is set to star in the new film version of The A-Team. Instead of saying, "I pity the fool," he says, "I pity the blank."
Wow.
Are all our celebrities in?
Yes.
No.
Yes. No.
I'm going to need. I'm going to need
another hour.
I'm going to need about 15 minutes.
You need a pen.
I'm ready.
Yes. We all ready?
Yep.
Yes. And Ron, can you tell us your answer?
I'm going to try pity the drool.
Pity the drool.
Pity the drool.
Pity the drool. Is that an answer that Andrea gave you?
Ha ha! I have a good answer this time.
Okay. Let's
hold
see.
Hold on, Ron.
Let's see what our celebrities say. Dave, if you could start us off.
I pity the bell, as in.
Eddie
opening
LaBelle.
Bell.
Oh.
It's going to be one of those days.
Yeah, you want to start.
Dave, your answers have been pretty good up until now.
Yeah. Dave, welcome to my world.
He hosts the opening bell.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
I thought he meant Patty LaBelle. Yes. Pity the bell.
He's just dumb all around.
Mary upstairs? Mary upstairs?
I didn't get it quite. I said I pity the news.
I pity the news. Okay. No, but that's
the news?
No, don't patronize
it.
Excuse me, it's better than Bell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Saying
that's
that right
true.
Now.
That's true.
Thanks.
Okay, can we go to Jake?
Jake, what'd you say?
Well, with Grisanage's love of sweets and, you know, Arby's and things of that nature, I said, I pity the kale eater. Pity the kale eater.
Okay, you just dropped below Dave.
Yeah, that's
just letting you say that. We're going lower as really we continue bad. On. Andrea.
I actually had a good one this time, okay. I think.
Well, thing.
I pity the donut. Because he has tons of donuts.
Actually, no.
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 You guys, that's a good one.
You guys just picture me with food in my mouth all the time.
I know. I wasn't
I
even going
the donut.
Yes. Mary?
I pity the food.
I pity the
food.
See? It's the same thing.
Because it sounds like fool. Yes. I pity the food.
Yeah, that's not drool. All right.
And then, Steve, you end up?
I pity the newsroom.
Newsroom.
Yeah. Okay. No, because he's the A-team of the newsroom. I pity the newsroom.
And, Ron, don't worry about a thing because no, everybody wins, but nobody does well. So don't worry about it.
All right, now hang on, Ron. Zero could get you in a tie. Let's go to Mike in Chicago. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Quite a challenge, Mike. You must get one celebrity
just have to
match.
Match. One.
One.
Okay.
All right, so what's his question?
You ready, Mike? Here we go.
Long.
There we go. Long John Silver said, "Hey, mateys, whenever I run the 100-yard dash, I go really fast. To go really fast, I put on blank on the bottom of my peg leg." Long John Silver said, "Hey, mateys, whenever I run the 100-yard dash, to go really fast, I put blank on the bottom of my peg leg." Okay, hang on, Mike. Let's make sure all our celebrities have their answers in.
I don't understand this.
Okay. Long John Silver is a famous sprinter.
It's a fast food place.
Yeah. Wendy Snyder loves their chicken planks.
By the way, there is no part of a chicken called a plank, just so we're clear.
Yes. Okay, do all our
and chickens don't ready? Plank in their workout routines.
Everybody have your set?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Mike, give us your answer.
It's Mike Jacobson.
Running shoes, tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes. Tennis shoes on the bottom of his peg leg. Okay. Right. Mike?
Well, he's going to need it to run.
Yes. Yes. I was thinking of a substance, but whatever. Okay, Mike, go ahead.
I said tartar sauce.
As did I.
Okay.
I did too. As did I. So
oh, look at this. Three tartars.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Tartars.
So no, four tartars. Celebrities matched
wow.
each other.
That is a record. Yeah. He's going to win because of that.
Mike didn't get any of it, but that's four okay. celebrities.
Mary, what is yours?
Well, our producer at CLTV, Fawn, she said wheels.
Okay,
wheels on his peg.
Wheels on his leg. Go.
I said a tennis ball. You know how you put them like on the bottom of a walker.
Yes. Yes.
To make it slide easier.
Dave,
fish and chips.
You put fish and chips on the bottom of his peg leg?
No, but at least it's related. That's good.
No, it's really not.
It's really not.
Mike, don't worry about a thing.
It's greasy lubrication.
Don't worry about a thing.
All right, so once again, we've got a 0-0 tie.
It's amazing.
We all matched. Three of us matched.
Yes.
And Steve Grzanich, do you have one that could break the tie?
Hello?
I'm here. Let's see. We're back on the chicken one, right?
All right, that's incorrect as well.
I thought he was going to say something about the turkey.
All right, so Samberg, you go ahead and tell me which prizes they have won. We'll give those folks their appropriate plugs coming up. Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Mike. Don't hang up. You're both losers, which makes you both winners. And thanks for playing our game. We're back with a big story next. And then you still got to hear about Mary's weekend, or a road trip, I should say. We'll see if we can get that in before 10 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
What kind of host would I be if you did not join me for at least one glass of fine champagne?
Well, I mean, you may not know this. Some of you do. What goes best with champagne?
Caviar?
I'm going to pair food and champagne. That's right, fried chicken. Chicken and champagne, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Our friend Catherine DeOrio is here. How are you? Happy Halloween weekend, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Why am I not hearing you? Try me again.
All right, there you go.
You
all
are.
Right,
there
here
you
I
are.
Am.
check, please, and all your other credits, all available through Catherine's management team. Catherine DeOrio on ice coming soon. Catherine DeOrio.
You don't want to see that.
The documentary. Chicken and champagne.
Yes.
It's a great idea.
Yes. It's, you know, it's actually kind of a modern classic. So, yeah.
It's, you know, the champagne is just, it's rich and it's refreshing, which is kind of a perfect pairing for that fattiness of the fried chicken that we all love.
The best kind of fattiness. The fried chicken purveyors of Chicago will assemble. You got the best fried chicken makers?
Yeah. So what we do for the fundraiser for the Kendall College Trust is we get 12 chefs. And so some are the actual, like, you know, people, that's what they do. Bud Long, Honey Butter Fried Chicken. So all those, like, you know, places that you love and you just know them for their fried chicken. But then we also bring on other chefs. So we have like Sarah Grunenberg from Monteverde. You know, we have Ryan McCaskey from Acadia, who won last year. And so they do their version of fried chicken. So it's really interesting because you're going to get that traditional maybe fried chicken. But then last year, Ryan's was, he did a take on chicken tikka masala. So it was amazing. I mean, like little pieces of naan.
Incredible. I noticed on the list chef from Joe Stone Crab. Yes. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Is it Delia?
Delia, yeah.
Justin Delia is there. Joe Stone Crab, I've always told people this. People go, what's your favorite steak place in town? Joe Stone Crab is so under the radar for one of the best steaks you'll ever have. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know they did anything special with chicken.
And that's the thing. You know, I did not either, and I got a tip. You know, it's good to be in the industry. So yeah, people always say, like, this is my favorite.
By the way,
chicken.
When was the last time you paid for a meal, woman? Come on, please.
Hey, it's,
you
know, work. It's work.
Yeah, right, exactly, right? Yeah. No, I do. I actually pay for most of my dinners.
Well, that's
so,
one of us.
Which is nice. Because you feel, you know, restaurant margins are small, and so it's always a plus.
It's really
when somebody
good,
yeah, wants to treat me. I will not refuse.
It makes up for me taking all the comps. We're talking about Joe Stone Crab, yeah, and flying under the radar. So have you had his chicken?
Yes, and this is the thing. It's interesting is everyone was like, fried chicken. I'm thinking, what? Because I'm thinking I go there actually for Stone Crab, you know? Uh-huh. And I go there for seafood.
And one of the best chopped salad you'll ever have.
Oh, I've never had the chopped, and I love
seafood
chopped salad.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
It's crazy good.
And everyone's like, this is what I get, and it's on the lunch menu, and you should definitely try it. And it's just, it's really interesting. And the same thing with Prime and Provisions. Theirs is an amazing fried chicken. I didn't know. They actually contacted me and said, come try our fried chicken. And they do this maple chili sauce that you put over it. So it's just kind of that sweet, spicy, and then there's, you know, the crispiness with the chicken. I mean, it's... I'm hungry.
Do you find, I guess, in your experience, in your travels, that so many of these chefs now, especially the ones in Chicago, I think we have the greatest chefs, but Sarah Grunenberg, Monteverde, of course, known for Italian dishes, but ramen also, and now Sarah prepares fried chicken.
Yes.
That so many chefs are now multifaceted and have different specialties than just one?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know if it's, I think they all have their kind of basic philosophy of like what kind of ingredients they like to work with. And then they just apply it to a lot of the classic dishes, which is great because people love classics, but everybody, I mean, this is what's so interesting is you think 12 chefs doing fried chicken, like how different can they be? But you'd be shocked. And that's something that when I'm curating the list, I try to make sure there's different styles in the way.
Well,
don't
you think too? Great chefs are like great musicians. Mm-hmm. You know, great musicians can play a lot of different genres of music, mm-hmm, and sometimes their secret passions, yeah, are doing something they're not known for.
Exactly.
So there you go, John. Thoughts on fried chicken?
I just love fried. I love the show though.
Oh,
so I'm a huge fan of the show. Can I ask you a question about the show?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, this is pretty cool because. Is there pressure put on those individuals? Like, I always feel bad because I'm like, somebody's got to.
You're
really
talking about check, please.
Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, that's check, right, please. Uh-huh. They want to be honest, but at the same token, you don't want people slamming this restaurant that is on.
Right.
That's horrible.
You know, I think part of the brilliance of check, please, is that there's always somebody that recommended you as their favorite restaurant, right? So there's always going to be someone there saying,
point,
hey, this is why I love it. This is why I want everybody to know about it. And what's interesting is I find that we have the best shows when maybe there is a little bit of dissension. And then, you know, the person that recommended it can actually say, oh, you know, okay, well, this is how it usually is, or maybe that what they were off that night, or you
right
know what,
I've
it's not really
yes
known for that.
Right.
This is what you should go with that, because that's where you really pull that information. I think that's really valuable when
yeah
you're going to visit the restaurant.
Yeah, it's a wonderful show. It's quick, it's easy.
Yeah.
The three, it's perfect. It really is a great show.
I just wish you had more energy and interest in it. Yeah.
Has there ever been a time, and you don't have to say which one, but has there ever been a time where you've been like, not the best meal, not the best experience? Do you have to pull it? Hey, do you know who I am? Or do you just kind of roll with it and think, oh, they had a bad night?
Yeah, no, I actually, I never, I never. Hopefully no one would ever think I did. I never pull a do you know who I am. Although it's funny because sometimes when I go out, I guess it's because everyone's very great in this in the city of Chicago. And sometimes when my husband and I go to town and we're waiting and waiting somewhere, I was kind of like, don't you know who I am?
Like, yeah. I can make or break you, man.
I'm going to pull this card right now.
Right. Oh, makes sense.
There's something kind of refreshing, actually. We always joke. It's kind of refreshing sometimes, you know, to just wait like a normal person.
We need the check. Please.
Yes, exactly.
No.
Yes. How did they remind people how you got involved with Kendall College?
Yeah, so this is for the Kendall College Trust. So we raise scholarship funds for culinary and hospitality students going to Kendall College. So, and as you guys may know, there is really a shortage of, you know, chefs and line cooks coming out there in the industry. So this is, I feel like we're also helping the industry by getting these students through school and out there so there's like a larger labor force for our restaurants so we can continue to stay this amazing restaurant city. So you can go to KendallCollegeTrust.org. You can definitely come to the event. It's November 4th from 11:30 to 3. You get to taste 12 different kinds of champagnes. There's wonderful desserts by Westtown Bakery. And then there's also...
Fun night, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and it's a day. So you start your day right, you know?
You know what's cool, too, is that champagne used to just be, oh, New Year's Eve or celebratory. Mm-hmm. Now you can pair it with different fun things like fried chicken.
Well, and the thing with
Dave,
champagne...
you pair it with days of the week. Yeah.
Champagne?
Yeah. Well, liquor in general.
Okay, Steve. Really?
Not
every day. Not every
My
day,
kind of
Steve.
Guy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Congratulations, as always. You're always welcome here. I always tell you to come back. You only come back when you've got something really important to talk about. You can come in here and be a goofball anytime you want.
Can I come stand outside and just wave to you from
out
there?
You can, but you can always come in, Miss Busy.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. By the way, people want to follow you on social media. What do you do?
So I'm on Instagram for Kat DiOrio, and I'm on Twitter at Kat Calls. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook. I guess, who is it?
Yes.
Right. Nice to see you.
Nice
as
to
always.
See you. Thanks for having me.
And by the way, KendallCollegeTrust.org/event/fried chicken event. In other words, Google Kendall College fried chicken or go to Kat's social media. It's all linked up. Back with Bill and Wendy shortly on 720 WGN.